Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I went up, I learned. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Zach Reed. I too have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 342 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And we all just did. That's right. We are here on maybe the day after what felt like the most normal week of football this entire season. Our page of news is less than a full page. Most of it's fluff. We didn't lose 16 players. Like, nothing. Like, the weirdest thing was Mac Jones started. But he looked like Mac Jones. At least he didn't come in and look like Tom Brady or something, right? Like it was, like, I'm so happy that we, like, it finally feels like we are here. And then if you're in Scott Fishbowl, you have one more week until the playoffs start. I mean, thankfully, our normal leagues have a couple more weeks before we hit there. But still, like, we're close.
Are you in the playoffs, Russ?
So, for Scott Fishbowl, the reason the playoffs start so early, first of all, because it's a 4,000-person tournament, but also because bye weeks start super, you know, they run super late. So he tries to work averaging of scores and everything. It works. I don't know how it works. I didn't believe it would work, so I still used to avoid drafting players with later bye weeks, but people survive it. It's a thing. Scott is a much smarter man than I am. You need 13 wins to clinch your playoff berth right now. I got my 12th win this week.
You're getting
there. As opposed to Rocky, who got it last week.
Yeah.
I'm spoiling that because he's in my division and beat me when we played against each other.
Yeah, he did beat me, but I'm 14-6 and he's 12-8. So,
yes.
Who's really winning?
I will, for what I see, I will get in on points regardless, but I would feel so much better if I could just get at least one. Because you get one win with your head-to-head matchup, and then it's against the median.
Yeah.
I usually outscore the median, but I've also very underscored in a couple of games. So, what about you, Zach? I know you started hot. You simmered down a little bit.
I am 15-5. I lost both of my matchups this week because I didn't realize that my kicker was injured.
Hurt you a little bit.
Yeah, and so it actually lost me, but like I would have won the matchup in the median if I had not if I'd started the groupie instead of the kicker from Washington, but who was injured. But yeah, 15-5. I'm in the playoffs. I don't know. I'm in a tailspin. I started off like I peaked at like just inside the top 100, and now I'm down to 600 and something. So I'm tail spinning. It's awesome.
It must be nice to tail spin and still be in like the top like 10% or whatever it is. I'm like, I think in like the 800s or something like that.
Oh, I'll be there in 2 weeks, Rob. Don't worry.
It's cool. I peaked in my 20s and I've been spiraling down ever since. I get your SFB season. But let's move forward. Let's talk about the news. And to talk about the news, we bring in our newsman, the man of the hour, the man, the myth, the guy wearing a hat that I don't know what it is. Otherwise, I would. Is it a bear?
Cubs.
Yeah,
it's a Cubs alternate.
Really? That's cool.
That's like the old school logo.
Yeah.
wearing an old school Cubs hat. Frank, the newsman. How's it going, man?
Who's also in SFB playoffs, by the way. His stable of...
I didn't ask. I totally remember. I'm like, remember to ask Frank when you get him in. Remember to ask. I did not remember to ask Frank.
Yeah. Six running backs in the first six rounds. That works, people. Yeah, we can... Speaking of running backs, how's that? Chuba Hubbard got a four-year, $33 million extension in one of the weirdest signings in terms of timing, in terms of situation, in terms of team that I've remember for a while. I didn't write this down, but I think it's like $15 million guaranteed, so it's probably only about a year or two if we really kind of break it down. But what the hell do we do with Chuba Jonathan Brooks now? Because it sounds like they want to be the Lions, which is what I've heard as rationale, and they're not the Lions. So,
but aren't what the they heck? Running wise,
I don't know. I mean, Zach, is Brooks Gibbs in terms of skill set?
I don't think so.
Is Brooks Montgomery in terms of skill set?
He's probably they're probably Hubbard is closer to Gibbs and Brooks is closer to Montgomery, but I don't think either of them are that player. Right.
I feel like the same player to me.
You also shouldn't be trying to be Gibbs Montgomery when you have three wins.
Well, and that's the thing is
and spending resources on it.
You made a luxury pick on a running back in this past draft class with a team that was not ready to make a luxury pick. Mm-hmm. And then you re-sign for a longer term deal another running back. Like, I don't understand quite the direction of, other than it makes me feel like maybe I don't ever want to be a GM because I'm not sure I have the prerequisite skill set.
Yeah. Neither do half the Panthers GM, so it's okay.
Well, but I mean, I think that if you look at so many teams in the NFL, they do things that are so counterintuitive to long-term success because mm-hmm. they're trying to save their jobs short term, and it's just ugly. Like, I get signing Hubbard in terms of, like, he's been the bright spot mm-hmm. in their offense, and he, if you're going to draw fans, he's the guy who's bringing them, even though they're not going to draw fans because they're bad, but like, he's been the bright spot, so I understand that in a like irrational sort of way, but like my rational brain is like, what are you doing? That is probably the second to last or third to last position that you should be attacking right now.
Right.
Because you have so many holes.
Right.
Well, my stance that I'm at least convincing myself of, well, to be fair, I probably have more Chuba shares than Brooks shares, so maybe I shouldn't be convincing myself of this. If you were banking on Brooks coming back and just stealing the job, he's going to come in and steal the job anyway. Like, this won't change.
Do you still believe that? You do?
Oh, no, no, I'm not saying I do. I'm saying if you do. Part of me thinks he will, because I do think he's better all around than Chuba is, but I don't think we're going to... I think the re-signing shows it's not going to be a 70-30 split. Like, if you wanted Brooks to come in and be the guy, I think that might be out the window, at least for this season, but maybe even next. Because like you guys said, or Frank, you said that it's like 15 mil guaranteed. I think you're right, which is really just 2 years, mm-hmm. maybe plus a little bit. So like, I'm not concerned in any way, shape, or form for Brooks. It just, the ceiling you... But again, both Montgomery and Gibbs do really, really well. And not to say that they are them, but two, and you know, Mostert and Achane, like, two running backs can coexist on a team if they're willing to run the ball enough. And it's not like Carolina can pass the ball right now, but they still do well.
I was going to say, though, those are two teams with quarterbacks and legit offenses when they're running, you know, on all cylinders anyway. I know Miami's been struggling a little bit, but Carolina is not that, and it doesn't look like they're going to be that anytime soon. Nah. Like, I think you need the quarterback to have the running backs have success. And if you have Bryce Young and Andy Dalton throwing the ball, it's just going to be a shit show all around.
You need to pay the fat men first. Like, it literally all snaps.
They don't have any.
Well, that's it. Like, it all stems, though, from, I mean, whatever team you're looking at, doesn't matter, across the NFL, it all stems from that offensive line, because if you can keep your quarterback upright and you can create holes for running backs, then all of a sudden there's a lot more success to be had. But if you can't do that, I mean, like, I don't think Bryce Young is as bad as he has shown. Like, I'm not sure he's ever going to be good. But I don't think he is as bad as he has shown. And his big Achilles heel is being pressured up the middle. Like, he was bad at that in college. He's continued to be bad at that in the pros. But if you can stop that pressure from coming up the middle, I think you give him a chance to be an adequate quarterback. But they just don't have that.
Look no further than Chicago, which we'll touch on in a little bit, on what the opposite of that looks like, right? Where they have no line at all.
Yeah.
Olave was placed on IR. His season's, they haven't ruled him out for the season. His season's done. I would be shocked if they just rushed him back. I brought this up on the podcast last week, but this is his fifth concussion since college. Yeah. Or fourth in the NFL, but he had one in college as well. This is to a range, and we talked about this, Rocky and I did. So, Zach, I'll start with you. Just what the heck? What do we do?
Well, and it's, to me, it's hard to know what to do, because a concussion is not a concussion. You know, right. it doesn't translate across people. So Olave's brain and Tua's brain, and so you kind of have to trust that they're getting the right medical advice and the right medical care for them. Now, is it scary as a fan of NFL football and a fan of, like, I'm a fan of players. I'm a Patriots fan, but it's not like I'm not tied to that. I'm a lot bigger fan of players. And so to see somebody be injured in a way that could affect their health and well-being long term is scary. And you want to make sure that they're getting everything possible to help them either come back and be safe or make the right decision for them. As far as fantasy is concerned, he probably will end up being a buy, especially if he gets shut down. But, like, Olave is not somebody I've ever actively gone after, because he's always been priced just a little higher than three or four players that I'm more interested in.
I had two people try and send me Chris Olave in the past 12 hours. One of them was for a 25 first that was way too early, which wasn't going to happen anyway. And the other one was for a pretty mid first. And I sat there staring at it, and I'm just like, I don't think I could do it. Even on a rebuilding team, like, I couldn't send, like, I think if I was looking at a team like a first, you know, that we always joke when, you know, in TA1, when I got Rockies first, it's going to be the 112 anyway. Like, yeah. If I had that pick, or like, it's going to be the 112, maybe I would probably do that. But I, like, even if we're talking like the 5 to 7 range, I don't think I want to give that up for Olave
right now. That could be Luther Burden. That could be someone like that in this next class who's going to be a wide receiver you just want more anyway.
Yeah, like you're re-rolling on a guy that hopefully hasn't had 5 concussions.
Right. The name that came to mind for me on that was Brandon Cooks.
Yes.
And
he also played for a decade.
He's still playing. And I think he was on the Patriots when this happened. He was like basically about to retire because he had gotten so many concussions. And now he's out for like an infection in his knee or something. I don't remember what
took him out. He's on the IR for something that's nothing.
It's not head related, but like, you know, there is cases where players have these issues and then continue to do so. I think on top of that, though, is Olave has never been his value that he is out there. He's never been worth that.
And it's one of those where, like, we'll do as a community a lot of hand-wringing while he's out, because, you know, there are so many people who are invested in him right, wrong, or indifferent, invested in him because they've touted him, and so they're you know, waiting for him to come back, or it's bad. And so if you are rostering him, to me, you kind of hang on, because there always is. There's going to be, when he comes back, and if it's next year, that's even better, because we'll be that much further away from people having that hang up where they're tied to him not playing this season or not playing well this season. And you're going to see him practice, and you're going to see Schefter tweeted out, and you're going to see, you know, all of these, the hype will build. And that, to me, is when you make your move, because right now, if you are rostering Olave, it's not a great time to trade him, unless you are contending and think you can get something as a piece from a non-contending team. Because it may benefit a non-contending team to have Olave not scoring them points and give you somebody older that is, you know, Davante Adams or whatever. So they get the benefit of not scoring points and also adding a potential asset for later.
Great. I said Hopkins last week, real quick.
Yeah.
Would you take Hopkins or Olave right now if you're contending?
I mean, contending, you want the one who is playing, I think. Although I'm not sure that Hopkins gets me what I need. Like, if I'm a contending team,
I need a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm not sure he cracks my lineup.
Yeah.
But for me, what I would probably do, and this is just kind of how I approach that, is I would be looking for if you had non-contending teams with running back production. So, like, Connor, you know, maybe you can get Connor and a piece or something like that, where you get the big points, but you also can re-roll it. Maybe you get Connor in a second or something like that.
Yeah. Anything to add, Rocky? I know we talked last week.
No, they mostly said it all. And like you said, we talked about it a lot last week.
Okay.
You know, in that show. So,
speaking of something we talked about last week, Dak officially is season ending surgery now. It was supposed to be IR for, you know, 4 weeks. It's there, as we kind of predicted, I think it was going to be out for the season. The Cowboys.
Season ending Cowboys.
Yeah. Lamb is getting destroyed by his own stadium.
It's fun to watch another fan this past week.
Another player I've gotten offered twice in the past 12 hours.
Yeah, we can get, like, you know, they said they're not making a coaching change. They named Rush. Lance is probably going to play. I guess we can touch on it for 2 seconds. Are you doing anything with those trades, nope, Russ, that they've offered you? Okay.
No.
Zach,
I'm too afraid of CeeDee Lamb.
I wouldn't mind.
No, that's a lie. I'm not afraid of CeeDee Lamb. I don't want to pay what it takes to get him.
Yeah.
To wait
like 2 weeks.
Okay.
No, but like, even still, like, if I want CeeDee Lamb, I want CeeDee Lamb when he's healthy and I want to put him in my lineup. But like, I have a rebuilding team. All right, let's just call it what it is. It was TA6. It was J Mike trying to get 3 firsts off me for CeeDee Lamb. And one of them was mine, which is the 101. And I'm like, J Mike, I love you, but
crazy.
My team would need to be so set for me to sell all this capital for one player, and it is.
Is he worth 2 firsts even? I don't think he's worth 2 right now.
Oh, he's definitely worth 2.
If one of them's the 101, you're selling both of those?
Oh no, I'm not giving up the 101 for. I don't give up the 101 for one player. I don't. Okay. I don't. That's not something my brain lets me do. But if you're telling me it's Tet or Burton or whoever your wide receiver one is, plus a couple of picks later,
I was trading Tet. I didn't think
CeeDee Lamb. It's CeeDee Lamb. Yeah,
I know that.
And I think that, Russ, that's exactly the trap that most people fall into that you're exploiting, where most people see that next big thing and they're like, "He's a sure thing. Tet's a sure thing." He's not. Like,
no one is.
He may be great, but you're hoping he's CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb is already CeeDee Lamb.
It is unlikely he will be CeeDee Lamb. And then that I would do. But the 101 just holds too much power for me to do. Again, if my team is so set and I traded for the 101, sure.
And this is
a specific situation.
This is with the caveat that I have not yet watched the wide receivers in this incoming class. So in 5 weeks, I may turn around and be like, Russ, you should, you know, keep Tet. You know, so We'll get there when we get there. But like, don't get me wrong, like right now, in terms of like percentages and the way picks actually work, and like, I'd CeeDee Lamb is already CeeDee Lamb.
Like, yeah. I don't need to wait for you to watch Tet McMillan for you to know that you are just going to be Russ. You're going to like Tet McMillan.
Yeah. You're going to have a rough film study on Tet McMillan. Arizona's a tire fire this year. So two sentences I will continue to say as long as the team say it, because they're funny. Flacco will remain the starter. They did say that again on Monday, because even though he stunk again. And the Panthers have not named a starting quarterback for week 11 after their – I think it's 12 after their bye. Sorry.
At least one interception of Flacco's was absolutely not his fault. I'll give him that. He didn't. Yeah. He wasn't – I'm telling you, the second he was named the starter, he was bad. Like, I'm telling you, like,
I know
they need to like start Richardson for a snap, and then like it's like the honorary start for like in basketball when they like make the old point guard go out there to get his start record, and then they sit him down for the new guy. They need to do that.
Like, Richardson could play the first drive, and then you pull him out to let Joe Flacco come in and be the knight in shining armor. Like, that's what he needs to be, I guess, because the second he starts a game, it's just. And it's not that he starts the game, because like Richardson missed a couple of games, and you know Watson missed a bunch of games, and Flacco was fine. But once he was like literally named the starter over someone else, he's like,
I don't think it helped that the schedule got worse. I mean, he played the Bills this week, and the Bills are pretty solid against the pass. So.
I think this is something we talked about last week, Frank. But Zach, what are you doing with Richardson at this point?
Again, he would have been a player that, or is a player that I treat like a running back. He's a running quarterback, and also a quarterback that I don't believe is a great thrower. I don't think he's ever been a great thrower. And to expect him, it's so funny to me to be on social media and watch people twist themselves in knots trying to like rationalize him as being a project quarterback and being a potential good throwing quarterback. I'm like, where did you ever see that? I mean, he didn't play enough games at quarterback.
In my hopes and dreams, Zach. I saw it in my hopes and dreams.
No, and like the rushing is great. Like, but again, early in the season last year when he was so productive, it was like four rushing touchdowns. And that's what the production was. And so to expect that to continue, I think, is wild. But there are going to be people in your league, because there are so many analysts around everywhere. I mean, you open your microwave and somebody's like, yeah, Anthony Richardson just needs that another shot. And so there's going to be enough of that, that there will be a way to unload him at some point, whether you can get another quarterback back or whether you can get a pick that you could parlay into a quarterback.
Are you hearing people talking when you open your microwave?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Your pizza bagels don't talk to you.
Okay.
That's where I catch all my Fantasy Cares YouTube content. I'm like, yep.
Oh, well, yes. I lined up the Fantasy Cares YouTube channel into your microwave. That I did. But we don't talk about Anthony Richardson.
No, that's true.
Two, we'll kind of tie these two together. So Dable would not commit to a starting QB after their bye this week. And Shane Waldron was fired as the Bears OC today. The passing game coordinator was Thomas Brown, who was the OC for the Panthers last year, that high powered offense. The Bears don't fire midseason ever as a Bears fan. So Eberflus is going to be safe at least for the year. It wouldn't shock me at all if they keep him at this point, just because they just do everything wrong. So,
well, they kept Nagy for like a year and a half too long.
I know, way too long. So I guess my question together on these two, obviously, you know, you have neighbors and you have Caleb and all these other kind of rebuilding pieces. Are there contending pieces on these two teams?
Neighbors like, is still a contending piece to me.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he was
like, are you buying Swift?
Daniel Jones at the beginning.
Are you buying Swift?
Well, for the right price, because let's like Swift was still like, he's only like RB17 last time I checked, like a week or two ago.
And that was with a really bad start to the season. I would be interested on what his ranking is since like week five.
But again, it's the same problem that you're having in Carolina. Like Swift is going to have that same problem because the offensive line is bad.
Right.
If the offensive line is bad, it's really difficult to be a good player. Mm-hmm.
He's four, really?
13. Yeah, so like 4-1-3 is 13.
Sorry.
And you know, I haven't looked at it, but I would assume a lot of that is on receiving work and on long, you know, long runs where like he'll break one for, because that's who DeAndre Swift is. So like not a bad ad. And Herms in the chat says Tyrone Tracy, another, you know, that
we're going to talk about him later, and I look forward to that
topic. Yeah, like that type of player for the short term as a contender is absolutely a win.
Yep. Yeah, I think in that vein, I was more like, you know, is there, like, are you trading for DJ Moore? No, right?
Oh, no.
DJ Moore has been so disappointing.
That's the thing. Like, who is a competing player on these teams?
Because when I think of neighbors, you're trading a big package to get him to compete, right? There's, like, when I think of competing players, I'm like, who are you trading a second for?
Oh, No, I mean, Swift, I would trade a late second if...
Yeah.
There's other players I'd try for first, but like he's at a tier where you send like a late second to three different teams for a running back because you don't want to make a decision. Yeah. And whoever says yes, you're like, all right, well, at least I got a running back.
Yeah.
Like Swift would be in that pile.
Yeah. One thing has a stash. Theo Johnson's looked impressive.
I like the last
couple weeks.
Theo Johnson and Jatavion Sanders. I like.
Yes, they both have looked impressive.
And so many shares of both of them,
which is good because yeah, we were investing on him hard. Aaron Jones, he took a big shot to the ribs. He came back, but he said that was like pure adrenaline. So we'll just have to monitor that.
Rough. Yeah. It's pretty wild. It's not often you see a guy carted to the locker room and then come back.
And then he came back. And he said it was just like totally adrenaline, which I don't know how you could have adrenaline for that game. It was like 12-8.
Toradol. Toradol.
I was about to say adrenaline was not what it was, not was in that syringe.
Yeah, I agree. So we'll monitor that. It's going to be some hodgepodge of Akers and Chandler if he's out. Chiefs designate Pacheco to return. We kind of talked about this last week. I don't think it goes right back to Pacheco. I think it's kind of a 50-50 split. Anyone disagree on that?
Nope.
Okay. Nope. Estime is going to continue to get more reps. Peyton said he was encouraged by what he saw out of Estime, which was 14 carries for 53 yards. Javonte, on the other hand, I think had one carry for 1 yard.
This week. He's kind of done, which is bad.
Stinks.
Yeah.
There are times where he's looked good. I know the output wasn't there, but the output's not really there for that team. So
right. Zach, I know I've asked you this before, but did you like Estime? I know he's kind of a bowling ball.
No, I'm not a real big fan of Estime. There were a lot of other people who were bigger fans of him, but for me, he was not really on the radar. He was running back 13 for me in this class. So again, if he gets a little bit of a hole, he can create chunk yards, but I don't think he's particularly dynamic. I don't think he's particularly fast.
He's kind of a load, isn't he? Like,
yeah, I mean, he's a big guy, but again, that's to me, for fantasy purposes, if you are a bigger back, you need to be able to bring.
Sorry, I'm leaving this on the screen to make everyone laugh. Herms in the chat says, Zach is more about the Wiggly Boys than the Bigly Boys.
He's got a point. He's got a point there. It's about being able to catch passes, because that's the easiest way to add fantasy points, because we're talking fantasy points. Like if we're talking NFL running back, like, yeah, you need to have an Audric Estime on your team, because every now and then you're going to have to smash into the line four or five times to, you know, try to get things shaking loose. But in terms of fantasy, I want the Tyrone Tracy's. I want the guys who can create a little bit on their own. I want the guys who can catch the ball out of the backfield. And if you, you know, if you get your 10 or 12 or 13 or 14 carries and all of a sudden you add five catches, that's a big stat line for fantasy, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, 15 carries for, you know, 54 yards or whatever it was. Like, it's yes. fine, but like, I don't know. I don't ever see Estime as being the player who's going to break enough long runs. So it's not like, like Derrick Henry is really valuable because, yes, he smashes into the line and gets 3 and 4 and 7 and 5 and, you know, loses a yard. And then all of a sudden he's gone for 70. Mm-hmm. Chubb was that way. Adrian Peterson was that, like, mm-hmm. but most running backs that are big, that's not what they do. They're downhill mm-hmm. for like 5 yards and then we do it again.
Yeah. I think you can start, he's a second tier of this, but you can start putting Montgomery in that category too, because he can break away when he wants to. Go ahead.
Well, and his situation is a little different too, because you're on a better than average offense and he's getting a lot of goal line work. Although they steal some with Gibbs too, which is kind of interesting. But
well, I think, and I've literally had people ask me, like, you know, why is Gibbs not in right now? Like, he's in theory the better runner. They literally rotate series.
Yeah.
Like it like, I think it's like they do whole series now as opposed to just like on and off. So, Laporta's day to day, by the way, he's fine. Like, he's, and before I go, I know Herm said in the chat earlier, he said, what if Dave, this is on the Carolina stuff, what if Canales is just doing what he would have done with White and Irving in Tampa? The difference there is Chuba costs 4 times what those two guys cost combined.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. Like, if you're going to keep running in guys who don't cost anything and just doing these kind of rotations, then that's what you should be doing. But Chuba broke that.
Yeah, Chuba's contract when he was drafted, awesome.
Yeah.
Not so much now.
Now he's getting paid like what Montgomery gets paid, yeah, which is crazy.
Yeah, which, I mean, you might as well, I mean, allocate a third or fourth or fifth or sixth round pick next year to a running back rather than re-sign Chuba. But
yeah. All right, guys. That's the news. Have a good rest of your show.
Appreciate you, Frank.
See you guys.
Later. All right. Well, now would be the part where usually I would make the guest choose whether you want to do Trade Addicts trades or listener questions, but we have 0 listener questions this week.
That's sad. I even went on to all of the social media that I possess and reposted, but apparently to no avail, huh?
Yeah,
I tried hard. Let's do Trade Addicts trades then.
Hey, Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage in all of them except for TA1, and we don't have any TA1 trades anyway. But we do have TA3, where we have Bryce Young, Eric All, and a 25-3rd for Quinton Johnston and Darnell Mooney. There are multiple parts to this. I am loving Quinton Johnston touchdown.
Yeah.
Like, he's catching touchdowns and I love it.
And this one this week wasn't even a broken play. Like, it was an actual route.
Doesn't matter how he gets them. He catches touchdowns and that's what matters. There was like 2 where the defenders just forgot to guard him like 2 weeks ago. It was great. I loved it. And Darnell Mooney, I love the resurgence. I know we talked about him on Wednesday last week. Oh, by the way, Wednesday's 9:30. Zach and I go live on the Fantasy Cares YouTube channel. You can check us out then as we hang out every single Wednesday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. That Darnell Mooney is just very good and fits in that offense very well. Bryce Young, though, like, let's say they don't have their first, but let's say they use their first draft pick, not first round draft pick. Like, their first 2 picks are a center and a guard. And that more or less shores up the most of the traffic that comes in right at him. Could he be good? He could be good.
I mean, he could be, but you're also going to have to add now more wide receiving help. because the wide receiving help that they added is now gone.
Well, Leggett doesn't look bad, and Jatavion Sanders is coming into his own. And again, it's not like having Nico Collins and Tank Dell or anything, but still. Like, the reason I ask is because if I think if you get QB2 starts out of Bryce Young, I think I want Bryce Young in this deal.
Yeah, there's a non-zero chance that you do. And I do think that probably, and I hate this, that is the side, but not like with a lot of confidence. And right now points is easy Quentin Johnston and Mooney. Like,
yeah.
Easy. Like not even, but I do think Eric All is pretty good. Bryce Young is a quarterback, so he's probably worth a second at some point.
And I think that's where I'm stuck. I'm stuck at the point where, like, I love the Quentin Johnston usage. The Darnell Mooney is so much fun, but he's never going to have dynasty value.
No.
To where the point, well, I'll just say I'll side with the quarterback on this one.
Yeah.
But it's fine.
That side is almost all points. I don't think Quentin Johnston ever comes back to being a darling again either. Because what, like, we have this really weird thing, and I've seen it over and over and over again with the community, where if we really like a player and they fail early, they're dead to us. That we don't want, and even if they come back, it's not the same. And we do this with stars too, where, like, if you have somebody who was a star and then they get hurt or they age out and they're like, okay.
Des Bryant. That was the first time I really noticed this. I called it the Des Bryant paradox. Like,
yeah,
he can be only one thing, and the second he's not that, he's dead.
Yep. So.
And then, of course, Jay shows up just in time to say, I needed the depth and the points. Like, he shows up in the chat right as we talk about his trade. Which, and we talked, like, Zach, I don't know if you caught it, but Zach absolutely said that. Points are absolutely the Johnston and the Mooney side.
Yeah.
And you don't need them because I'm winning TA3 anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Shots fired.
Please let me win. I want to win so bad. All right, TA4. This one was super interesting, and this happened pretty recently. Garrett Wilson straight up for Brock Purdy. I was talking about Brock Purdy today, and it's one of those things where he finished last year as, like, the QB points per game 6 or 8. I can't remember what it was, but it was, like, up there. And even I was just like, this is the best he's ever really going to do. Whatever. He'll settle in as a QB2. But he's the QB8 in points per game right now. Like, he's good enough to play in a system that is very quarterback friendly. So, like, he might be a top 12 quarterback. Like, that might just be what he is in this offense. I love Garrett Wilson, but he's on the Jets.
Yeah. I love Garrett Wilson too. You take the top 10 quarterback. Like, I think that's what you do. Like, and I do, I would rather have, like, my irrational brain would rather have Garrett Wilson. I think Garrett Wilson is sexier. I think that you've got the potential for a top 5 receiver, but he's not right now. And getting those points from Purdy, like, Purdy is scoring right now similarly to Hurts, Allen, Jaden Daniels, Kyler Murray. Those are running upside quarterbacks, and Purdy, with his consistency and with the pieces around him and in that offense. And I look up here in New England, I watched a guy for years that everyone said he was a system quarterback. He wasn't doing anything special. I'm watching Purdy do a very similar thing where, yeah, he's got pieces around him, and yeah, the coach is pretty smart and puts people in positions to succeed. He's still going to throw the ball, and he's getting it in the right spots.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
to play devil's advocate, I was just looking. Garrett Wilson on the Jets is wide receiver 10 in points per game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he is a wide receiver one.
But most... I hate
that this trade is making me pick Brock Purdy.
Yeah. most of that was one week though, right?
A lot of it. Well, he's got a 30 point week, but he's also got a 29, a 25.
Yeah, the overseas game, I think it was, where he put up 35.
He's seeing a ton of targets. That's what he does. Like, he's a great wide receiver. He drives a ton of targets, but at some point you got to catch a ton of targets.
Yeah, I feel like, and I've not been the biggest Brock Purdy fan, but like Russ said, he is doing it again. That's with McCaffrey for most of the year, without Ayuk for a lot of the year. I mean, I can only keep shitting on the guy so long. So, I think
bury your head in the sand and keep your take lock on and keep saying how much you hate him.
I don't think it's a bad deal either side, actually, but I think I'd have to lean the quarterback here too.
Yeah, that's really what it is. Like, I think value wise, let's pretend it's a startup. I don't think they go that far from each other. Purdy probably gets drafted first. It was probably only like 5-6 picks ahead, but this is one of the things where it's the quarterback.
I do think though, if Garrett Wilson miraculously starts to catch, 60 or 70% of the balls thrown at, all of a sudden produces his value ceiling, not necessarily his point ceiling, but his value ceiling is a lot higher than Purdy, because I don't think Rocky is in the minority of people with their kind of apathy toward Purdy. He was Mr. Irrelevant. He's not been sexy. If you're not a 49ers fan, you're not excited about him. Well, he's been pretty good.
Yeah. All right. So let's get real boring in some trades right now. Well, just one. In TA9, we have a 25 second for Aaron Rodgers because I lost Dak Prescott. It was Rocky's first, the second also.
Which is going to be the 212.
That's my team's super young. I'll take it next year. You could have TA9 this year as long as I can have three.
I was just playing on the joke from earlier, but I think I do lead the league in points in TA9. But that's fine. You have to pay a second, I think, to get a starting quarterback, at least an old starting quarterback. So sure.
Is it weird that I'd almost rather have the side? I mean, I know that situation dictates that you got to go get a quarterback, but I'd almost rather have the second than Rodgers at this point.
Totally makes sense, but also you'll see what happens next.
Do you think you can get a better starting quarterback than Rodgers for a second?
No, but I think I can get a player who scores better than Rodgers.
Maybe.
And so again, that's that. I know that TA and whenever I go on with Hogue in the Superflex Super Show, it's always thinking about starting two quarterbacks. I just want the points. So my second quarterback doesn't have to be a quarterback. I'll super flex in a player. If Aaron Rodgers is only scoring 14 points a game, I can find that. Darnell Mooney will get me that. I can find that.
Yeah. Let's move on to this next one where I texted a group text that Zach is in for a push, really. The next trade, still TA9, is Josh Allen and Sterling Shepard for Caleb Williams, Brian Thomas Jr., and a 25-4. Rock, why don't you go first, because Zach knows what this is.
I keep making me pick the one where you pay for a quarterback. I've never been since the rookie draft and all that, I've always been a little let's see with Caleb Williams first before we start valuing super duper high. I'm always like that with the most of the top rookie quarterbacks. And I think it's bearing out. I mean, not that I'm saying Caleb Williams is going to be a bust or anything like that, but I mean, he's had a very up and down rookie year with a lot of weapons around him. Not a great O-line. Obviously Frank mentioned that earlier, but I need to see it. And Josh Allen is money in the bank, and I love Brian Thomas Jr., but I don't think that's enough to go from Caleb Williams to Josh Allen.
So I text this group text. I'm like, someone just offered me Josh Allen for Caleb Williams and Brian Thomas Jr. I have to take this, don't I? And everyone was just like, yep. And I'm like,
yeah.
But I just like, I'm still.
I would do that. And that's paying up for a quarterback.
Like, I'm still reeling from losing my one Brian Thomas Jr. share. I'm about to lose a second one. Seriously, really? And it's just like, no, I got to do this. The value's just too good. So yeah, I did it.
That
I
don't even like a pretty cheapish job.
Yeah, I would say I don't even know that that's paying up for a quarterback.
Yeah, really. That's why. It's because it's not really – it's not like what you should be paying for Josh Allen. So that's why I would do it.
I know, but I really like Brian Thomas Jr. But no, I did it. It was Josh Allen. I knew it was from the second I got it. I just needed everyone to just be like, just shut up, Russ, and do it. So they said it. I did it. All right, let's move on to TA10. And this one, very, very relevant to conversations we've had in the past. Actually, you know what? We're going to do this other one first. We're going to do, okay, so Herms, the master wordsman he is, it's time for some Potter fodder. He called his trades fodder for the Potter, and I lost it.
That's fantastic, Herms.
Yeah. So his Potter fodder trade was Geno Smith for Sean Tucker, a 26 second and third. So here's another QB for a second, though Geno Smith is, I'm pretty sure, scoring better than Aaron Rodgers. Anybody have anything strong to say about that?
That one's probably Geno, but it's close enough that.
Yeah, it's kind of my reaction to the Rodgers deal. And the fact that it's a 22nd, it's 26 second makes it even easier for me to say, yeah, sure. Give me the, yep. if you want another starting quarterback, throw Geno in there. Yeah, for my 26 second, I'll take it.
And I will say I got taken advantage of in that Rodgers one where it's just like, I just saw that Dak was out for an extended period of time. And right then someone goes, someone give me a second for Aaron Rodgers. And I just went, well, I just lost a quarterback. Okay. That's literally exactly what happens. It was just wonderful timing and my lack of willpower or ability to stop and think. All right. But our last trade, TA10, also Chris Olave for Tyrone Tracy and a 25 third. So talked about Tyrone Tracy in Dynasty Wall Street this morning. And I said I would not give up a first for Tyrone Tracy right now, but I would give up 2 seconds for him, assuming they weren't super, neither of them were super early. And I think I kind of just said that about Chris Olave, even though I did say if it was like a super late one, I probably would.
For this trade, I get if you're a contender, you are trying to add Tracy. Like I understand that. And he had a couple weeks ago, he had the blow up week where he had like 22 or 23 or 24 points in PPR. Like that's nice. The Giants offense is still not great. He's going to get touches, but the Giants offense is not great. Singletary is back healthy, is going to get some touches, not a bunch, but he'll get some. I think this one's Olave. Again, I understand if you're competing and you need like another flex play, Olave went down, he's not doing any good. I get it. I understand the Tracy, like acquiring Tracy. But man, I think that Olave has so much more upside and long-term upside, even with the potential concussions looming. I still think I want Olave on this one.
I'm with Zach, and we all know I'm not the biggest Olave guy in general. Prior to the concussions this year, I just think, and I feel like when I looked at it, I thought maybe it factored in that Tyrone Tracy's a rookie, so in theory he's a quote unquote young running back. He's going to be 25 later this month.
In 2 weeks.
25. Yeah. So that's not even the case. You're going to have I just don't think it's enough for Olave. And that's from a guy who doesn't love Olave, even with or without the concussion. So, yeah. And like Frank said earlier in the pod, he could come back and not have another concussion for 5 years, for all we know, and play a long, healthy career. So, and if he does, he's going to be worth well more than Tyrone Tracy, you know, the second he steps back on the field.
That's Najee Harris old.
Yes, it is.
Almost Terry McLaurin old.
Ooh.
It's almost...
Not quite Velus Jones old, though.
No. Rashad Perriman old.
Rashad Perriman. He and I have the same hairline. It's beautiful.
His dreads are longer, though.
That's true.
All right, but that is the end of our show. She said that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Zach, as always, for coming on. Why don't you let everyone know who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do, because you do something now.
I do. I record or go live with you the Fantasy Cares YouTube stream every Wednesday night at 9:30 Eastern. I am starting to do my rookie film work. I have watched 3 running backs so far. This is early. I usually don't start until after Thanksgiving, but I'm going on vacation for a couple weeks, Thanksgiving week and the week after. So I'm starting early. You can find me on Blue Sky at Tacit Assassin 13. And that's where I'm at. And then we'll do the Dynasty Dummies Rookie Hoot Nanny. I assume that will go out over the Fantasy Cares feed as well. And that's with J Mike at J Mike Check, who, if you have not enjoyed listening to me at all, don't hold that against J Mike. He's fantastic. You should listen to the Dynasty Dummies Rookie Hoot Nanny because he is awesome.
Yes, he is. Zach's fine. He's okay.
I like to set the bar low. You can step over it.
There you go. Shoulders of giants. our stuff, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can hang out with us while we record. We had a hop in chat today. Also, we have our awesome Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. Speaking of Discord, Fantasy Cares is also now has an open Discord. You should be able to just search for Fantasy Cares and find us. But also, I know I just tweeted it out, and Fantasy Cares tweets it out every so often, and Blue Skies it out also, because still not getting behind that one. But otherwise, I don't actually, that's really it. Night, everybody.
Night, Russ.
Good night, Russ.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.